connect with what God is doing, you know, in the church here in Melbourne. My wife and I travel itinerant to around New Zealand, Australia, and other nations as God has, you know, given us opportunity to serve Him. So we're privileged to do what we do. Our ministry really is to equip the saints for the works of the ministry, and we love doing that. So this morning, I'm aware that the church is in follows a program of, you know, releasing the Holy Spirit and speaking about the promise of the Father. So this morning, I just really want to cover some of that time and speak to you about the promise. And I'm going to speak out of Luke 24, 47 to 49, where Luke writes about what Jesus said to the disciples when they gathered together just before Jesus' ascension. And it says in verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Verse 48, "And you are witnesses of these things." Very interesting. 49, "And I, behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." What a beautiful promise of the Father of Jesus to us, that the Father had made a promise to fill us with the Holy Spirit and equip us for the mission that He called us to do. So we, one of the key words in that portion of Scripture is that we are called to be witnesses, and our testimony and our lifestyle and what we say and do is a witness to the world. And I really believe I want to emphasize that today, that often we don't realize the world is watching us, watching the church, watching our lifestyles, and listening to what we say and listening to how we testify about the love of God and Jesus in our lives. So let me encourage you that it's a powerful call of God to be a witness for Him. And in Acts, you know, 1, 4, and 5, there's a repeat of that when Jesus says, when they had been assembled together with them, He commanded them, there was a command, you know, do not leave Jerusalem. In other words, don't leave town, stay in town, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So Jesus inaugurates the new covenant by stating something very powerful, that you will receive power. You know, the walk that we have is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And my encouragement to you this morning is that allow a refreshing of the Holy Spirit this morning to be upon you. You know, often we give out and we give out, but there's no time to stop, or we don't stop long enough to receive a refreshing from the Holy Spirit to continue the work that God gives us to do. And again, it's repeated that you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When my wife and I were originally in South Africa at our church, the leaders said to me, "We're calling you into full-time ministry." Not long after that, the Lord gave me a word out of Genesis 12, and He said, "Leave your family, leave your father's house, and I will show you a place to go." And I knew that morning that the Lord was indicating to us that there was somewhere else to go. And I never thought it would be the ends of the earth. But this scripture has become very real to me. We're happy to go local, but then God wants to send us to the uttermost part. So often God has a better plan for us, to send us somewhere where He can effectively use us. So I said to God, "I'm happy with Jerusalem. I know it. I know my hometown. I'm even happy with Judea." But He said to me, "No, the ends of the earth." And I said, "Lord, help me. Where is that?" So anyway, we learned that it was down under. And we've been rising up from down under ever since. So, you know, God has got a plan for you to use you, whether it's in your local mission, your local town, your local community, or beyond. And He empowers us to do this. The word power there is a word called dunamis, which really speaks about the might of God and the ability of God. You know, God doesn't call us to a mission without giving us the might of His power. And, you know, once we are converted, that's not the end of the matter. It's only the beginning of the matter. God wants to fill you up beyond that with His Holy Spirit so that you can go on and establish the truth of His Word and testify about Jesus wherever you go. When the Holy Spirit came upon the 120, that power took their ministry outward, not only in Jerusalem. In fact, they were in Jerusalem and they liked it in Jerusalem so much they didn't leave Jerusalem until persecution came upon them, and then they were scattered to the four corners of the world. And often, you know, when persecution comes upon the church, we actually get stronger in the Lord. We get stronger in ourselves, because I believe that persecution is often God's gymnasium to build us up. And I've learned that at times I go through the fire, but it's the fire of the Holy Spirit that strengthens me to become who God called me to be. And sometimes I resist the fire, but I know that it's been the making of me, because God constantly works in my heart and my life. So I want to ask you this morning to open your hearts to the Holy Spirit. I really believe He wants to refresh us this morning, for us to know in our hearts that He's called us to do some good things. And what Peter, you know, Peter saw this when the Holy Spirit came upon them with a wind and with a noise of the Holy Spirit, the fire that came. It wasn't really a fire, but it represented a fire. The Holy Spirit's character comes as a symbol of His divine presence through fire. And the wind, it sounded like a wind, but it wasn't really the wind. It represented the unseen power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the wind of the Spirit is blowing. We don't know where it's coming from, where it's going, but we know when we look back, that was the wind of the Spirit moving over our lives, moving in the church, you know, bringing us to a new place in God. So there's a move of God upon the church today, and He's changing us and making us more like Jesus. I'm totally convinced of that. So verse chapter 2 says, "But when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord in one place." I love that statement, because when we come together in one accord in one place, we pray and we seek the face of God, things change in our community. People come into the service seeking God. Why? Because the saints collectively have prayed for a move of God out in the community, and families are changed, lives are changed, because we believe in being in a place of, you know, togetherness in God and seeking Him for the community we are part of. So let me encourage you that God is moving in the area of prayer in the church as never before. And when I read about early revivals, many of the people that were in those moves of God were the older folk that believed in praying and interceding on behalf of the next generation. One of the most powerful things we can do is the ministry of prayer and intercession for our generation that we seek. So age has got nothing to do with it. It's got everything to do with heart. God's interested in our heart, and seek Him in this hour for the generation. And it says, "Suddenly there came a mighty sound from heaven." We know divided tongues, and we know that story. "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." You know, in the Old Testament, individuals were called uniquely and anointed by God. But in the New Testament, the New Covenant, every believer is offered the promise of the Father. The active presence of the Holy Spirit in you is a really powerful thing that God wants to do. And that activity of the Holy Spirit brings life into us, brings healing to us, sanctification, and all the promises that God has given us through His Holy Spirit. And as Peter saw this happen, he stood up. And we know that Peter became very bold when the Holy Spirit came upon him. There was a bold witness that came from this man, and he said, "This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." He said, "Your sons and daughters, they will prophesy. Your old men, your young men will have visions. Your old men will have dreams." So I want to say to you today that many of you still carry dreams. And I'm not talking about literal dreams. I'm talking about dreams in your heart. Don't put them down. Press into what God's called you to do, because God is stirring up dreams in us, desires to serve Him in the way we do. Reach out to your community and serve them in the best way you can, because there's a dream in you that God wants to keep reviving and reminding you of His goodness and kindness in your life. And so Peter, goes on and he says, to them, listen, brothers, these men are not drunk as you suppose, because they thought when the Holy Spirit had come upon them, they were out of control. No, they weren't. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit. These are the last of the last days, and God is continuing to pour out His Spirit on the church. On us, those who are hungry and thirsty for Him, there will be more for us. So let's be open to the Lord, today, and, just believe for what He's doing in our lives, so that we can carry that Spirit to our families, to our friends, that we can witness with them that we are filled with the Spirit and that we are available to walk with God and minister into lives and bring restoration. So Peter explains this, and he says in Acts 2:32-33, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you see and hear. So most of our spiritual walk is about seeing and hearing things from God. So I want to encourage you that as over this weekend we stirred many up to see and hear from the Lord, because God wants to communicate with us, and part of the Holy Spirit's role that was promised by the Father is communication. He comes to commune with us, and part of that communication, the koinonia, communication with the Lord, is the peace of God and the communication back to us through prayer, through the Word, through worship, through adoration of God. God speaks back to you and I. And in that speaking, He wants you to run with a message. Be bold for God. I believe it's the day for the church to stand up in boldness and to declare who we are. Everybody else out there is declaring who they are, and so do we. We've got to, be like Peter, be bold. And when he preached that week, about 8,000 people were saved. There was a boldness that came. And, the early church learned to overcome obstacles, temptations. They had courage. They had perseverance. They had supernatural power to heal through the Holy Spirit. They cast out demons. They did miracles. They faced hardship and persecution. And, that list is could go on. But, many of those things we're going to face in the future, and God's getting us ready to stand for Him and be an incredible witness to the goodness of God and the transforming power of the Spirit. So I've seen, God work in many different ways, and I love what God does, because He always does it out of love, and He does it out of grace. So the grace of God is available to us today, and I really believe that, the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes to restore back and to give us hope for the future, hope for those that we have, strong relationships with. Because, Jesus said, I will send you the Helper. He also calls the Holy Spirit the Helper, and I love that. Often I find we need help. And my encouragement to you is, when you need help, call upon Him who is the Helper, the Counselor, the Interceder. He intercedes on our behalf. He gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding. But the more we relate to Him in our prayer and in our relationship with Him, the stronger the relationship develops. And, Jesus often referred to us as being friends of God. And that's my deepest desire for us as a people, to be friends of God. And, John 15:15 speaks about that one of the relationship invitations that are there is the friendship that God wants through us with the Spirit. Amen? So I want to say to you, keep a dialogue, keep a journal of your relationship with God. Pray back what He reveals to you. Pray it back in prayer. Pray it back in the things that He reveals to you about people, And sometimes our prayers, Linda and I often get called to pray on for people in different nations, different circumstances. And one of the most gratifying things is to hear the testimony to say, God has moved on our behalf. We're now not in that place anymore. We're in a better place. And, you know, we pray often for things like that that seem to be, you know, out there. But the word paraclete or parakletos is the word used for the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper. It's an attorney who appears in court on our behalf. And I can't think of a better attorney to represent us than the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he's representing the church today. The gates of hell will not prevail against us, and we will rise up. And what I love about the Spirit of God is that he works on us in the area of fruitfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is being stirred up in us. In other words, God works on our temperament through the sanctifying process of the Holy Spirit so that we become more like Jesus. And if anything's happening today, the bride has been transformed into the image of Jesus. That means the fruits of love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, patience, long-suffering is part of our growth in Jesus. And that work, that work can only be done by the Spirit. And I want to speak to you about pressing in. There's an area that God wants to work on. I believe it's our characters today, that we will shine brighter for the Lord in these end times. And then in turn, he gives us gifts, 9 beautiful gifts, and he works in those gifts to exercise ministry through your life and my life. It's a process, but I love the process of the Lord because he keeps teaching us something, and one of the strong aspects of the Holy Spirit is he's a teacher. I will teach you and show you the truth of God. And if ever we need to know the truth today through the Word and through the Spirit, is God help us to be aware of that, to have ears that are open and eyes that see. I suggested to us yesterday that we need to grow big ears so that we can hear a bit more about what God's saying to us, that we don't miss the revelation of his Spirit speaking to us about our lives and about those that we love. So be encouraged this morning on that. I know I don't have much time, so I'm going to sort of finish off with where I'm at. And just to, you know, encourage you in one aspect here, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. The world at large cannot receive him. But he teaches us, John 14:26, and he reminds us of the words of Jesus. That's what I love about that. I find the Holy Spirit will prompt the scriptures to me and teach me about the Lord. He convinces us or convicts us of sin, shows us God's righteousness, and announces God's judgment on evil. He guides us into truth and gives us insight into future events. So it's beautiful to see. He brings glory to the Lord Jesus. And that's what the church is about. If we allow the freedom of the Spirit, he will point us to the Lord Jesus and do some amazing things through the church of the living God. So the Holy Spirit is a person. He speaks, he intercedes, he testifies, he directs, he appoints, he can be lied to, and he can be grieved. But most of all, the Holy Spirit as the attributes of God, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's omnipotent, and he is God. So we should welcome into, you know, his work in the church and welcome his work in our lives. Continue inviting him to do some work in us so that we represent Jesus in the best possible way. Amen. So rise up, church. It's a season of opportunity for us. Grab hold of what the Holy Spirit's saying to you and be a witness for him wherever he sends you. Amen. We are called salt and light. So let your light shine in Melbourne and bring your brothers and sisters into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen.